Our guest is Eve Arden, currently appearing at the Drury Lane Theater in Under Papa's Picture with her co-star and husband of more than 20 years, Brooks West. Eve Arden, what a great show this is.
Well, thank you, Chuck. We enjoyed doing it very much, and I must say it's marvelous to have the response from the audience that we do.
Well, it shows in your performance. You enjoy what you're doing, and the audience, in turn, enjoys it, too.
Yes, and we're very happy with our cast, and it makes it fun to work.
You're
that
going
way.
To be here until March the
8th? The 9th, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give everybody a chance to get out. I hear you're doing great business at the box office.
Oh, it's marvelous. I think they put in, I don't know how many chairs tonight. They've been putting in 40 chairs some nights, besides all the seats, you know. So that's nice.
Everybody
Tony's
loves
very
that.
Happy.
Everybody loves Eve Arden. Almost any conversation with Eve Arden has to get around to the character of our Miss Brooks, Connie Brooks.
Yes.
And you created that on radio back in 1948. Mm-hmm. I want to get around to that, too. But first, I'd like to go back a little bit before 1948.
All right. I don't mind.
Before there was a Connie Brooks, even before there was an Eve Arden.
Way back there.
Way back to Eunice.
Oh, please. All right. You said the nasty word right then, but my name was Eunice Quidens.
Quidens.
Mm-hmm. But I always hated the Eunice part of it. And then when I got to New York, I worked for Lee Schubert in the first Schubert Ziegfeld Follies that Billy Burke produced after Ziegfeld had died. And Lee Schubert said, "We're going to put your name up on the marquee, and we can't put Quidens on there. It's too long." So that's when I came up with Arden.
And did you just pull it out of the air?
More or less, yes, I did. I was waiting to go in and see him, and he'd kind of given me a deadline on a name. And I was reading a book, and the heroine was Eve. And I had a package of Elizabeth Arden's cosmetics in my hand. And I tried it out on him, and he liked it, and that was it.
You know, if you had used a different cosmetic today, your name could be Lady Esther, I
right.
suppose.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. Now, how did you get from Mill Valley, California, to the Ziegfeld
Follies? I went to San
Francisco
first, and I worked for the Henry Duffy Stock Company there, which was a marvelous kind of super stock, where you rehearsed 4 weeks and played like 8 to 12 weeks, depending on how popular the play was. It was great training. Then I joined a little, the Bandbox Repertory Company, and there were just 4 of us in the company. And that meant a lot of long parts, because I played all the leads, and they were divided among 4 people. And then from there, I did a review at the Pasadena Playhouse, and we took it into Hollywood, and that's where Mr. Schubert saw me and signed me for the Follies. So that got me to New York.
I see. You worked with Bob Hope there at one time, didn't you?
Yes.
You worked with Danny Kaye, too, on Broadway, didn't you?
Yes, I went back later and did Let's Face It with Danny Kaye.
Then you were in the Follies and a couple of other shows, too?
Yes.
Before you went to California?
Yes, I did a Theatre Guild review called Parade, and then I did another Follies. And then I came out to California. My mother had passed away. Mm-hmm. And I came out, and I suddenly got a picture to do. And so I stayed and did some pictures, and then I went back and did another show, 2 shows, as a matter of fact, and came back and did some more pictures, and then I went back and did Let's Face It. So I sort of commuted in those days.
Back and forth a little bit.
I love the theater. And
in those early shows, were you a comedian? Were you a singer? Were you a dancer? You were everything.
I was a comedian, and I did numbers and sketches and things like that in reviews that were great fun, and sang and danced.
Your first, probably the major screen role was in Stage Door.
Well, that was the first one. That's the first one I did.
It was your first picture.
Then I did Voice of the Turtle, and well, you have a whole list. You I even couldn't work, possibly
you,
remember them.
You even worked with the Marx Brothers in, mm-hmm. at the circus, didn't you?
Yes, Day at the Circus, right.
You were with...
it's practically the only picture that ever impressed our son. To work with the Marx Brothers. That pulled me up a few notches.
You know, it was in the movies and for Warner Brothers and RKO too. I think you did mm-hmm. something for RKO.
Oh, I worked for all the studios.
Yeah.
MGM, RKO,
you and
Paramount.
Lucille Ball kind of were typecast as the businesswoman kind of a role, or the
sometimes
the secretary,
yes, secretary
the other woman.
And best friend of the heroine,
yeah.
who
There's,
never got the man.
There's Ted Sennett wrote a book called Lunatics and Lovers about those screwball comedies
mm-hmm.
of the 30s and the 40s, and you were yeah. very evident in many of those.
Oh, really?
And,
oh, I haven't seen
oh,
that.
You know mm-hmm. about that. I mean, you were evident in the screwball comedies.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
He said that, trying to describe the role that you played mm-hmm. in those films, you would walk onto the screen, you would dispense acid like wine to the fools you were obliged to tolerate, and then make a nice exit. And you know, I think that really did kind of sum up your
well,
screen
that
role.
That covered maybe a few of them,
uh-huh.
but I never thought I was so acid, you know. Mm-hmm. And they called me brittle, which annoyed me because I was always really the gal with the good heart that saved the heroine and patched up all our troubles and took care of everybody. But I did make a flip remark now and then.
Well, those flip remarks really were very well remembered and
yes.
Kind of became a trademark for Eve Arden.
Right. Yeah.
There's a few of them in the under Papa's picture, as a matter of fact.
Yes, quite a few.
Of course, Mildred Pierce was one of your finest
yes.
Screen appearances.
Well, so they tell me. I was so amazed because... You make a picture, or you did in those days, and if you're not the lead, you work, say, maybe 2 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. And then I used to go to Palm Springs for 2 or 3 weeks during the making of the picture, which always distressed the cameraman because I came back 8 shades darker. And then you'd work a week or two more or 2 days. And so you had really... very little concept mm-hmm. of what you had done in the picture. And I could never bear to see them after. It destroyed me, so I gave it up. But then I read in the paper that I'd been nominated for an Oscar in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt I had to go and see what the heck I had done. And I went, and the theater was very crowded. And I sat in the second row down front. There were no other seats. And after 10 minutes, I left. So I never saw it again until it was on TV as an old picture.
Did you like it?
Yes, I enjoyed it. I wasn't that mad about it. I think Voice of the Turtle I liked.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was one of the best things I'd done.
It's good dialogue in that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You moved from films with ease into radio. You worked with Ken Murray for a while.
Yes.
And Jack Haley.
I did those things uh-huh. when I was working in the theater in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came out on the coast with another one of those. And then I did a show with Danny Kaye on radio. And... then finally along came Miss Brooks.
How did our Miss Brooks come along?
Well, they had made a couple of recordings with a couple of other actresses. Mm. I believe Joan Blondell was one. And they didn't feel she was right. And Shirley Booth was one. So they asked me to do it. And I held very little hope for it. But they said, we'd like to put it on as a summer replacement. And I said, well, then you're going to have to do it right fast because I'm going to New York. So we taped all of them very mm-hmm. fast. And I got to New York, and at the end of my stay there, Frank Stanton said, congratulations. He was the president mm-hmm. of CBS. Mm-hmm. And I said, what for? And he said, you're the number one show on the air. which astounded me. So then we went into fall production.
And it was on radio for something like 4 years.
Yes, it was on radio 5 years, one of which overlapped the 4 years on television. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's something really very interesting about the transition from radio to television. A lot of the shows that were very well established on radio didn't make it on TV.
No.
And I think a lot of it was due to the fact that people who watched the show then saw people they couldn't relate
right.
to because they had their ideas of them in their own minds.
Right.
Yet, with one exception, every member of the R. Miss Brooks radio cast moved into television.
Yes, and the only one who didn't, as you know, was Jeff Chandler. And the reason for that was that Jeff had suddenly become a big motion picture star. Plus, he really wanted to do it with us. But he just physically, and when you looked at Jeff, you didn't believe he was the shy, bumbling Mr. Boynton. Mm. Vocally, he did it. So Bob Rockwell was the perfect replacement for him, you know.
And on to 5 years of 4 years of TV.
Yes.
Five from radio.
Yes.
There was one point in the series on television where they tried
changed
to
it.
Change the atmosphere a little bit, didn't
they? They came to me and said, number one, they didn't want to take Dick Crenna into TV.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me to make tests with some boys. And I said, what for? And they said, for Walter Denton. I said, you're crazy. People know Dick. And they said, he's too old. I said, but he doesn't look it. He doesn't sound it. And they'll love him. So they pressured me to make the test. And I said, I'll do it if you make a test of Dick, too. And there was no question after that. So then they came to me partway through and said, we're going to make a big change. Just keep you and Gail Gordon, that's all. And we're going to send you to Hollywood, and it's going... I said, it's not going to work, and I bet I have my people back in 3 months, and I did. Mm-hmm. And it was a shame, but that spoiled it.
They changed it from a public school to a private school, and from a high school to a grammar school.
And it never recovered from that. That was really the reason we went off the air, and it's a shame.
Why did they change that? Why did they want to make the change?
Well, we were caught in a game that is played, really, by an awful lot of TV producers and sponsors. When the time comes to renew, each one pretends that, the sponsor and the network say, well, the show's ratings are going down a little, and it's not as good as it used to be. So then the creative people get very upset, and they come and say, but we've got a great new idea, you know? And then they change it, and it ruins the whole thing. That was the problem with that.
You really don't like to mess with a good, successful thing
no.
that's going along. Well,
no.
today, of course, they make all kinds of changes, but they don't give them a chance to work, I don't think.
No,
you know.
They don't. They haven't a chance to gain their audience. It takes a while for people to get used to looking at you and then finding you and knowing what night you're on and wanting to see you, you know. So, it's very ticklish now to go into TV.
When the R. Miss Brooks series ended, then you came back shortly thereafter with the Eve Arden show.
Yes, and that, what happened to me there, we made a good pilot, which sold immediately. Then they came to me and said, well, we're on now, but you can't have the same producer, director, or writers when you go back on. I said, how can you do that? They said, oh, we'll put 15 writers on it. Well, you put 15 people in a little screening room and have them look at one thing, and they all come up with a totally different idea. So it just didn't homogenize, you know. So, now...
So that didn't click too well, but you were a big hit with Kay Ballard and the Mothers-in-Law.
Yes, yes, and then they dropped that. So it's very hard to tell. I've just done a picture, by the way.
And that was?
For Disney.
It's
called The Strongest Man in the World, and that's coming out in about a week. So I wanted to be sure and mention it.
We'll look for
them.
That. Yeah,
yes.
That's great.
It was a fun picture to do. Joe Flynn, who unfortunately died right after the picture. And there were a lot of wonderful characters in it. Phil Silvers is in it. And
well, you're still making movies then. You never got away from making movies. You were in Anatomy of a Murder and the Dark
at
the Top of the
Stairs. My husband and I did that together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yes, my life seems to go in spurts, but mostly we love the theater. And one reason I didn't work so much then was because my husband and I took our four children on summer stock tours.
And did they appear with you
no.
on the show? They just
no.
went along with you.
The reason was that it gave them a wonderful vacation and allowed us to be with them in a kind of different role than we were at home, where we were always having to say, did you do your makeup? You know, I mean, your homework, makeup. You see where I am. And you know, how you're old. Did you make your bed? Did you do this? Do it. But we would tour in a station wagon with a nurse and a dog, and we would talk with them then, and they would see the countryside with us, and we'd be by a mountain lake one time and by the seashore another. So it was a good way of life for us for quite a few years.
Good family togetherness. Mm-hmm. You were together in a ranch. You have a great big ranch out there.
Great big ranch, and then we took them to Europe, open end, for a year and a half. So that was a wonderful period.
I was flipping through an old TV guide yesterday or today, and I don't know whether this is press agentry or not, you know, you can't tell, but there was something in there about the animals on your ranch being named after movie stars.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Is that real?
Oh, yes, that was... Of course, this is quite a few years ago now, when the children were young. And we had three cows, and they were named Marilyn Monroe, dear Marilyn. Her namesake died from eating baling wire. And Elizabeth Taylor, that was a black Angus with a white face. It looked like Liz, we thought. And Jane Russell. And we had the Gabor sisters, who were our sheep, and Mama Gabor, who promptly gave birth to triplets. And we had all the animals named for different people. It was fun.
Names are somewhat significant to you because your first two daughters are Connie and Liza.
Liza is the eldest.
Yeah.
Connie, and then Duncan and Douglas, the boys.
Connie was Connie Brooks. I mean,
yes.
Didn't you choose that name?
People always ask if Armis Brooks was named after Brooks West, you say. But Brooks and I hadn't met until I had been on radio for almost 4 years.
You actually met at a play. Were you in a play together?
Uh-huh. Toured in Summer Stock the first year. But when they were giving her a first name, I had just adopted a little girl and named her Connie. So I said, how about Connie Brooks? And that's what it came. And Liza has never forgiven me because I had named a little business that I had after her first. And then the business went geflunked. So she lost out on Miss Brooks.
But Liza, wasn't that the name of the character when you played in the E. Harden show?
That's what the second show I did, I named for Liza. That's right.
So now we have to look forward to a new series,
Duncan.
Yes.
I can't think if we named some characters, Duncan and Douglas, somewhere, I think.
What else can we look forward to for Eve Arden? What's the next stop after the Drury Lane?
Well, I guess our grandchildren. Oh, I thought you were meaning to name after. After Drury Lane, well, now I'm talking about a TV pilot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, until you do the pilot and the pilot is sold, you just don't talk about it. But I will go back right after this and make the pilot. And then Tony DeSantis would like us to come back here and play at McCormick Place.
Oh, good. Good.
So we will move there.
Well, he's eventually going to have five theaters in the Chicago area. So,
right.
You know, you'll be able to... have a ring around Chicago with all of these
things. He's got us scheduled for four of them. I don't know where the fifth one's going to be.
Well, that's good. You are seen regularly on television these days as a school teacher, I think, in what is the commercial?
My Imperial Margarine.
Imperial. Mm-hmm. And no crown. We don't... Dun, da, no. Da, da, we don't get that.
No, I replaced the crown.
Well, you certainly are the crown on an evening of good entertainment, and we thank you very much for tonight and for so many good things you've done over the years.
Well, thank you. I must say it's very pleasant when people come up to you and... they enjoy Miss Brooks more than anything, I guess, that I've done. They always mention that. But it's nice to hear.
I always kind of identified myself with Walter Denton, but I could never see myself driving my school teacher to school.
Yes. That's funny. I was on AM the other morning, and suddenly this voice said, "You're getting awfully high hat. I came to drive you, and you went off in a limousine." And I thought, who is that? And it was Dick Crenna calling from the coast. And so we had a long chat. We see each other fairly often.
Oh, good.
But Gail I don't see as much because he's been working with Lucy, of course, for years and years. And he lives.
When you first went on television as our Miss Brooks, you followed Lucille Ball on Monday nights, I think. They had the... She was on whatever time, 8 o'clock, and you came on at 8:30 for the first season. Yeah, you were.
That's funny, I don't remember.
Back to back there for a while, as you were at RKO. And,
you see, Lucy had a radio show that was not particularly successful, which is why she is I Love Lucy today, because they dropped that then and went with Desi's idea.
That was my favorite husband. You were not in a situation comedy on radio before the Our Miss Brooks.
No.
You were kind of in sketches with Danny Kaye.
Yes.
Did you ever work with Jack Benny?
Yes, I did. Dear Jack, he was very flattering to me once at a party. He told me that when Mary quit, that for a while he had considered asking me to join him, which would have been marvelous, you know. And
I can see you in
very
the
happy when
crew,
he said that, but he was a great loss.
I'll say. Yeah. But you are a big asset to us, and we appreciate your talents.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Eve Arden.
I've enjoyed it.